yeah. You can do better than that. Come on, put your hands together. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Yeah. Amen, amen. Hey, hug somebody's neck, shake their hand. You can be seated this morning. God is good all the time. Man, we just want to say welcome, and we're so glad that you're here today. Give me some lights up there so I can see who I'm preaching to today. Yeah, we're glad you're here today. And you know what also? We're glad for everybody that's joining us online. So everybody here, put your hands together and welcome our online watchers as well. And so we're glad you're here. You're in for a great blessing today. We're thankful that you chose Bethel. And you're in for a blessing today because my friend Corey DeVivo is here today. Corey, yeah, you got a few fans, Corey, just saying. Not all of them are happy, but a few of them are. And so Corey's a friend of ours. He has a wife, Shannon, two kids, Brighton and Hudson. They're from Stephenville. Corey has come and preached for us for probably, I'm going to guess, 15 years. He was back down at the old church with us a long time ago. And I know how awkward it is when you're a guest speaker and the preacher brags on you, because no preacher wants to be bragged on. They want God to be bragged on. But here's what I believe. God always gets the glory, but he honors the people that gives him glory. And so we're thankful for Corey being here. I remember this from our previous meetings. One of Corey's favorite scriptures is this: I must decrease so that Christ can increase. Right. Corey's a great friend of ours. He's going to be a blessing to you. Put your hands together. Give him a great big Bethel welcome today.
Well, good morning. You guys doing good? Awesome. Hey, grab your Bible. Turn in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is where you're turning. And as you're turning there,
hold up. While they're turning to Mark chapter 5, I meant to say this, and it will help you, I promise.
Okay.
Mark chapter 5. Keep looking. I don't talk as fast as Cole talks, but Corey talks as fast as Cole talks. So get ready and rev up your listening today.
I got a lot to say, right? Mark chapter 5 is where you turn. And let me share with you really quickly how God's been working and moving in our ministry here this past year. And I tell you that not to say, look at me. I'm telling you this, church, watch. If you'll make yourself available, God will use you. All right? And I'm telling you, this past year, throughout all the different disciple nows and camps and revivals and mission trips and so on and so forth, we've been able to see over 2,500 professions of faith, which is Jesus still, okay? I say that to continue to pray for us this year, as he's already booked up the rest of the year, and that is a Jesus deal, and we're going to just hide behind the cross and take people to him. Are you with me, church, okay? We got a lot of camps coming up, mission trip to Colombia, two mission trips to Colombia, one to Costa Rica. It'll be a Jesus deal. And so anyways, just sharing that with you a little bit. I also tell you, yes, my family, they're doing awesome. Keep praying for them. Our oldest graduates high school this year. He's going to go to Hardin Simmons play football. My prayer is that he gets plugged in here. We'll see what happens. Are you with me, church? Okay. And so anyways, God's working and moving, and we give him all the glory and praise. All right. I'm going to get you guys to talk to me a little bit. So if you listen, say I am. All right, we're going to rock and roll, have a good time, and see what God has for us. We've already worshiped them through song. Now let's dive into God's word that we know is active and living and wants to speak directly to your heart, your situation. He wants you and I to change and leave this place changed because we met face to face with him. Are you with me, church? Okay? So Mark chapter 5 is where you're at. Go with me to verse 21. If you're there, say I'm there. All right, let's break this down and unpack this and see a story we've all know, we all read. The fact is, you're going to see a man here in Jairus that basically has a situation going on. Let's read it, talk about it, unpack it, so on and so forth. Verse 21, it says this. When Jesus again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, it says a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, look what he does, church, says he falls at his feet. Are you with me? Continue to go on. Look what it says. He says, he pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed. Come on, church, and that she will live. So it says that Jesus went with him. Are you with me? Watch this, church. Guys, what I see here, I see a man who is desperate. Come on now. Everybody say desperate. I don't know your situation. I don't know where you're at. But the fact of the matter is, when you and I live this life, there's times in life, there are seasons in life that we feel like this man, that we are desperate about something going on in our life. What does it mean to be desperate? We're in a situation that we just say, man, I can't handle this any longer. And what happens is our world turns to Dr. Phil and Oprah. I'm telling you and I, we need to run to Jesus. Are you with me? When you and I are desperate, we need to be at the feet of Jesus. And guys, as I was reading this week and as I was unpacking it and kind of just allowing God to speak to my heart, I got to thinking about how often people in God's word are at the feet of Jesus. See, you find in Matthew chapter 15, you see that there's a story there, and they're actually talking about, there's a list of people, and it says that they are lame. It says that they are crippled. It says that they are blind. It says that they are mute. It says that there's many others. And it says that they're bringing these people to the feet of Jesus. So in other words, watch this, church. People who are hurting, come on now, are at the feet of Jesus. And it says he heals them. And guys, here's the thing. Again, I don't know where you're at, but you might be to the point that you are hurting because of some physical ailment. Maybe you're hurting because of some kind of spiritual thing going on in your life. Maybe you're hurting because of a relationship. Maybe you're hurting because of something emotional going on in your life. My prayer is that if you are hurting and you're to the point of being desperate, guess what, church? It's time for you and I to run to Jesus and be at his feet. That's a very humbling thing to do. Are you with me? Guys, I'm telling you, we don't have it all together. I don't, just because I'm up on the stage, I don't have it all together. But I'm telling you guys, I want to be at the foot of Jesus no matter what. All right, let's keep going on. Check this out. Watch this. So think about this. Here is Jairus, and because he's a synagogue leader, this dude has a job. This dude has potential to do all these different things. And guys, here's what he's got to do. He's got responsibility, I should say. He's got to make sure that the grounds of the temple is right and perfect and clean. He's got to make sure that the worship service is set and so on and so forth. Throughout the week, what he would do is he actually prepares the school and makes sure the school runs smoothly and all that stuff. He's got responsibilities. Everybody say, that's right. Because this man is a synagogue leader, he has ties to the Pharisees. What's the Pharisees telling him, church? They're saying, man, this man Jesus, don't go to him. They're saying, man, this man Jesus, everything he says is a lie. This man Jesus says he's healing this and doing that. Don't follow him. Don't believe in his message. Don't believe in what he's doing. But yet we find Jairus in a situation that he's desperate. And watch what he does, church. Without hesitation, he runs to the feet of Jesus, and now he is right there, and he cries out to him, and he says, man, my daughter, she's dying. I need help. Will you come with me? He didn't change the situation. He didn't get things right. He came just as he was. Are you with me, church? That is my prayer, that you and I, that will be our heart's desire, that wherever you're at, whatever you are hurting with, I'm telling you, church, we need to run to the feet of Jesus. How about this, guys? Watch. We know even Matthew chapter 28, there's two ladies there that we know that Jesus died on the cross. They put him in a tomb, right? And we see that there is Mary and the other Mary go to see his body. They get there, and we see that he's obviously risen, and he is gone. They have an encounter with an angel, and the angel says, man, he is risen. He's alive and well today. He's overcame death and he's overcame sin. Are you with me, church? If you're listening, say, I am. Come on now. And we see that the angel tells them to do what? Go and find the disciples, right? And he says, go and find the disciples and let them know that he is risen. And on their way, you know what they do? They find Jesus. They meet Jesus. And they're at the feet of Jesus. And it says they're worshiping him. So whether you are hurting, whether you are a godly person, come on now, whether you are, you know, struggling in whatever situation it may be, I'm telling you, church, you and I need to be at the feet of Jesus. Are you with me? All right, let's keep going on. Check this out. Watch this. So here in Mark chapter 5, watch what takes place next. Go with me to verse 24. I love this. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And it says, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Says that she was suffering a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, it says her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Are you with me, church? Praise God. Right, here's what I love. Here is it just totally changes in our whole story. Here is this synagogue leader who runs to Jesus, is at his feet, and now we see the whole story changes. Jesus is willing to walk with him, to meet him right where he's at, and deal with his daughter. Check this out. And now, as they're going, they meet this girl. and it says there's a large crowd. Now, let's think about who's in this crowd. We have the Pharisees in this crowd that are mad and angry about what Jesus is doing. They're frustrated. They're watching him heal people. They're listening to his messages, and it's not what they believe. And so they are mad, and they are frustrated, and they're angry, and they're part of that crowd. Also in this crowd is people who are just curious. You with me? And they're sitting back, and they're just watching. They're hearing about Jesus. They're seeing what he's doing. They don't know whether or not they should believe or not. And so they're kind of just staying back, and they're wondering, what's he going to do next? Also in this crowd, you find this little girl who for 12 years has been running to the world, running to the world, running to the world. And the scripture says she didn't just get better. She didn't just, I mean, none of that, right? We see that she even got worse. And then she comes to her senses. And it says she fights through the crowd. Come on now. Fights through the crowd because in her mind, she thinks, man, if I just get in his presence and if I just fall at his feet, all I've got to do is touch his clothes. And if I touch his clothes, I will be healed. And here's what I love, church. She went desperate and she left delivered. Woohoo, baby! Right? And so again, I don't know your situation. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're desperate about. But I'm telling you, you can come just as you are. And it's time for you and I to step up and step out and get out of the crowd and get to where we need to get to. And that is the feet of Jesus. And so watch this, church. I'm giving you four takeaways. When we're desperate, everybody say desperate. We need to be at the feet of Jesus. Everybody say, that's right. We also need to reach out. Reach out. Guys, can I get real with you? I think a lot of times we as the people, we as Christians, a lot of times we're like the crowd. And we're just kind of curious. And we're just kind of comfortable. And we just want to stay back. We want to just kind of blend in and be camouflaged. Come on, church. We want people to think we have it all together. We want people to think that, you know, nothing's wrong in our camp. I'm telling you guys, if we want revival to take place, we got to humble ourselves and go to the feet of Jesus and reach out to him. Watch this. Not only is sometimes we like the crowd, sometimes if we're being real, sometimes we're like the Pharisees. And we're looking at our situation and we are mad and angry about what's going on in our life and we don't know why it's happening to us. And we just begin to blame other people. Are you with me? And we don't understand that the fact is that God, he sees the whole picture. And he knows exactly what he's doing on going on in our life. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And here's what God laid on my heart that I want to challenge you with. You and I, as we are desperate, we need to reach out. And what I see is, I see this young lady as she's fighting through the crowd and she's at the feet of Jesus. Watch this, church. I see a young lady who is a follower who is following Christ. And that's my challenge to you. I want you to be a follower who is following Christ. What does that look like? Think about this, guys. A follower who's following Christ is going to be committed to the cause. Hello. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says for you and I to take up our cross just whenever we feel like it. No. It says that we've got to take it up daily and we've got to be willing to follow him. You and I, watch this. A follower who's following Christ, we're going to live by faith, not by sight. Right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells you and I that we got to understand that without faith, we cannot please God. Faith takes action, church. We got to be willing to put that faith with action so God can use us the way we need to use us and don't just stay back in the crowd. Are you with me? Are you following me? How about this, church? A follower who's following Christ, you're going to be willing to serve others. In John chapter 13, we see a story there when Jesus is about to go die on the cross. We know that he takes his disciples up in the upper room, and we see that he's willing to change his position. He's willing to change his clothes, and yet he humbled himself, and he gets on his knees and begins to wash the dirtiest part of their body. Guys, I'm not a feet person. I don't want to see your feet. I don't want to smell your feet. I don't want to touch your feet. That's gross. Are you with me? All right, okay? But yeah, he was willing to humble himself to wash the dirtiest part of their body, and he looks at them and he says, now, this is what you need to understand. You need to go wash other people's feet as well. In other words, he's saying, you and I have got to be willing to serve others. A follower who's following Christ, watch this. You're committed to the cause. Everybody say, that's right. You got to live by faith. Everybody say, that's right. You and I got to be willing to serve others. Everybody say, that's right. Thank you for agreeing with me, at least three of you. Are you with me? Okay, check it out. Okay, how about this? When you and I are being a follower who follows Christ, we're going to obey God's word. You believe in the Bible? You believe it from Genesis all the way to Revelation? Praise God. The only part of the Bible you believe is the part that you live. Think about it. We have a lot of Christians that are walking around with a toothpick rather than a sword. Come on now. Right? Because what we do is we say, man, yeah, I love Jesus, and yeah, I want to follow him, and I want to be a follower who's following, and yet we rip this page out, and we rip this page out, and we rip this page out, and we're walking around with this little bitty toothpick, and we're trying to fight the world. I'm telling you, church, you and I live in a battleground, okay? Not a playground. Watch this. You and I being a follower who's following Christ, watch. You and I are going to remain in Jesus. No matter our situation, whether we're in a situation that's for 12 years and we are struggling, right? You and I are going to remain in Jesus, and we're going to continue to run to him rather than the world. Check this out. Watch this. We know that in the book of John, there is Jesus, and he tells us seven different I am statements about himself. And he says what? He says, I am the bread of life. You know why he says that? Everybody say, why? Because he wants you and I to know the only thing that can satisfy us and sustain us is him. He says that he is the light of the world. Why? Because he is our salvation, church. He tells you and I that he is the gate or the door. That tells you and I he is the only entrance into heaven. Come on now. He tells you and I that he is the resurrection and life. That gives you and I hope. He tells you and I that he is the way, the truth, and life. That gives you and I certainty. He tells you and I that he is the true vine. Praise God. Then John chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. What does that tell you and I, church? He is the source of our strength, and we got to stay plugged into him. He tells there in John chapter 15, he says, remain in me, 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 remain in me. Seven times in the book of John chapter 15, he says, remain in me. If you and I are a follower who's following Christ, we're going to have the desire to be committed to the cause, living by faith, answering the call of serving others, being willing to obey God's word, and we're going to remain in Jesus no matter what. Not be in the crowd that's just kind of sitting back and just watching and saying, man, what's going on over there? Not being like the Pharisees, mad about our situation, but whatever we're in, we're still going to praise him and give him all the glory and continue to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus no matter what. Everybody say, got it. Are you with me, church? Let's keep going on. So watch this. We're seeing that when you and I are desperate, we're feeling hopeless, what can we do? Run to the feet of Jesus. What do we need to do? Reach out to him. Okay, watch this. Continue to go on. Look at the very next verse there. Go with me to verse 30. I love this. It says this. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. It says he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowded against you, the disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said, watch this. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering. Praise God. You know what I love, church? Watch this. Again, she went from being desperate to now being delivered, but here's what I love. She went to Jesus. Not only was she healed, but he also affirms her faith. That's cool. Right where she's at. Now watch this. Here's my third point, my third takeaway. Check this out. Watch the very next verse, verse 35. If you're there, say, I'm there. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came to him and says, from his house of Jairus, and says to the synagogue leader, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher any longer? Now think about that, church. We see the story starting out where here is this man who was desperate and in total need, totally hopeless, ran to Jesus, the world maker, ran to Jesus, the healer, and comes just as he is, just lets him know what's going on. Jesus says, you know what, I'll go with you. And as they're on their way, watch this, church, we see that they stop, and now here is Jesus dealing with another situation, another girl who is desperate, check it out, and now he's talking to her, and as that's going on, here is Jairus, some of the people come from his house and say, you know what, your daughter just died. I don't know about you guys, I don't know what's going on in his mind, I don't know what's going on in his heart, it doesn't tell us that. But I'm going to get transparent with you, if I'm in his situation, I would be mad. I would be frustrated. I would be angry. I would be hurt. I would be confused. I would wonder what in the world's going on. You're here because you knew what was going on in my life. I cried out to you. This is my daughter who I love and I care about. You understood that. You said you would come with me. You knew my situation needed to change. I knew you could change my situation. And yet you stopped and you dealt with this. What's going on? See, here's what God laid on my heart that I want to challenge you with. When you and I are desperate, everybody say desperate, we need to go to the feet of Jesus. We need to be willing to reach out. Watch this. We also don't need to get discouraged or distracted. See, you and I, a lot of times when we get in a situation that we feel hopeless, we focus on that very situation rather than the Savior. We focus on what we're going through, not understanding the whole situation, not understanding the plan that God has for our life. I'm telling you, church, here's what Satan does. Satan wants to do everything he can to distract you. Would you agree with that? He wants to do everything he can to discourage you. Would you agree with that? He wants to do everything he can to discredit God's word in your life. Would you agree with that? And so what he does is he wants to take situations. Watch this. If I show you this piece of paper, right, what do you see? A dot. And that's all you see. That's where your eyes go. That's where your mind goes. That's what you see. That's what you know. So what you see and what you recognize and what you focus on is that dot. And you don't even focus on the rest of the page. See, here's what Satan does. Check it out. Think about it. We know God created the world, spoke into existence. He said it and it was there. He said it and it was there. He said it and it was there. When he created you and I with his very own hands. That's pretty cool to show that he desires to have a right relationship with you and I. He took dirt and formed man. He could have chose gold. He could have chose silver. He could have chose anything, but he chose dirt. Why? Because, guys, we got to understand, dirt is the lowliest of the low. We got to understand that our life without Jesus is nothing but dirt. And so he formed man, he breathed into his nostrils, he became a living being, and then we find in chapter 2, he gives him a command, and he tells him, man, I want you to tend to the garden, and he says, you can eat any fruit from any tree in the garden except for that tree that's right there in the middle. You guys know the story. We don't know how long he is actually in the garden and doing exactly what God wanted him to do, but we find in chapter 3 that he disobeys. Why? Because what was the serpent doing? What was Satan doing there in Adam's life the whole time? He was trying to get him to focus on what, church? That tree, that dot. You remember that tree God says not to eat from? Man, let's go try that. Let's go see what happens. And on and on and on. And got him to focus on that. And when he did that, we see that it led him to disobedience. It brought sin into the world. Are you with me, church? Let me get real with you. You and I, when it comes to sin, we spend more time. Check this out. We spend more time trying to cover up our sin than we do trying to confess our sin. Amen. Something I didn't share earlier, watch. We see that there are hurting people at the feet of Jesus. We see that there are godly people at the feet of Jesus. Do you realize that in Luke chapter 7, when the Pharisees come, right, and they're having dinner, they tell Jesus, hey, come and have dinner with us. It says that there's a simple woman that comes to dinner that she wasn't invited, right? And it says that she comes, and it says that she's got an alabaster jar. She's got some perfume, right, that's about a year of wages, right? And she's willing to go, and she's broken because of her sin and just where she's at. We see that she begins to wipe his feet because she humbles herself. We see that she breaks the jar and pours the perfume on there because she's showing commitment. Watch this, church. At the feet of Jesus is sinful people. And we got to understand that it's important for you and I to recognize where we're at, and that sin is causing us to be desperate about where we're at. We need to go be at the feet of Jesus. Does that make sense? And so check this out. You and I don't have to get discouraged. You and I don't have to get distracted by what's going on. We just need to make sure that we understand we're not where we need to be, but we know who we need to go to. And the fact is, we are not perfect, but the one that we are serving, the one that we're running to, is perfect. And come just as we are, right? Check this out. Watch this. And so what we see here is Jairus, he comes and he's at the feet of Jesus. Come on now. We see that this young girl comes to the feet of Jesus, but yet she reaches out to him. Come on now. And now we see that he jumps back to Jairus and he says, watch this. I love this. We see that we're recognizing the fact that Jairus didn't get discouraged. He didn't get distracted as all this was going on. But look at verse 36 of what happens here. I love this. Overhearing what they had said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid. And he says, just believe. Everybody say, just believe. Isn't that awesome? So that's our fourth takeaway. When you and I are discouraged, go at the feet of Jesus. When you and I are discouraged, reach out to Jesus no matter what. When you and I are discouraged, don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. When you and I are struggling to the point that we're overwhelmed, whatever's going on in our life, you and I got to understand, we don't have to be afraid of that. We got to just believe. And I know that's not easy to do, is it? It's easy for us to trust the things that we see, that dot. But those things that we don't see, those things that we don't know, it's hard at times because it's going to take faith, because it's going to take us trusting in Jesus. And so, church, check this out. As I was kind of studying this very story this week and kind of unpacking this and kind of just seeing how, you know, the world is desperate. Everybody say desperate. Check this out. And so I kind of Googled it and I said, you know, what are people desperate for? Give me the top 10 things that people are desperate for. Here's what the list came up with through Google. Check this out. It says this: happiness, money, freedom, peace, joy, balance, fulfillment, confidence, stability, and passion. And so as I read that and I began to kind of just look at that and begin to think about that, here's what that list is meaning. Check this out, church. Watch this. What are we desperate for? We are desperate in need of a revival. We need to see God work and show up and show off and do amazing things in people's life. And it's time for us to understand, how does that happen? We got to understand that we got to come just as we are, run with a sense of urgency, and get to his feet, humble ourselves. We got to be willing to fight through the crowd and reach out to him because we want to get to where he needs us to get to. And you and I got to understand we're not going to get discouraged about it. And we got to understand that you and I are going to realize that the fact of the matter is, here it is, check this out, watch this. You and I have got to believe in him. Woohoo, baby! Right? That's awesome. Tells us exactly what we need to do. So desperate. Check this out. Has there ever been a time in your life that you've been just desperate about a situation? This past summer, I got to go to Columbia. I've been to Columbia probably 40-something times now. I set my easel up in a street corner neighborhood or park, and I start drawing pictures that draws in the crowd, and we share the gospel with them. I always fly back a day early because as I'm doing that, I get to the next church that next Sunday because this is how I provide for my family and things of that nature. And so I always fly back a day early by myself. Now, keep in mind, even though I've been to Colombia many times, I've been to Costa Rica many times, I can't speak Spanish. Are you with me, church? Keep in mind that it's been the whole week, and so I've already spent all of my Colombian money. Keep in mind, I'm cheap, so I don't have an international plan on my phone. They drop me off at the airport. I'm good. I get through everything. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I get to the gate. To make a long story short, I've got a connection in Miami, and they sit there and they say, well, we got a delay. Now I got to change that connection. I'm thinking, okay, we got this. But I'm kind of getting to the point that I'm a little bit desperate. Then they come over to the intercom and they say, God, sorry, but we're not going to fly out until tomorrow. I'm like, what in the world am I going to do? They're like, you got to go back through customs. You got to do this. You got to do that. And so with my broken Spanish, I go through customs. I get through it all again. I go back to the ticket counter. I wait 3 hours. I get a new ticket. I go back to the hotel that I've been at. I'm going to fly back with my team that I'm with. Are you with me? Everybody say desperate. Oh, come on now. Everybody say desperate. All right. It's always better the second time. The fact of the matter is, I am desperate at this point, and I'm struggling. I'm mad and I'm angry at the situation because I'm already supposed to be on the plane going back to Miami, getting back to Dallas, going to be able to see my family for a night and then go somewhere else to preach. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? I get up the next morning or going to the airport. I go through customs again. I go back to the ticket counter again. I got my ticket. I go and I'm sitting at the gate. My team goes onto the plane. I'm the last one to get on. And they look at me and they say, we do not have a seat for you. It's not funny, church. I was desperate. Again, I was mad. I was angry at the situation, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So now I'm there in a third world country by myself, can't speak Spanish, don't have any money, don't have any food, and my phone doesn't work. Hello. I was desperate. I sit down. I just kind of put my head down. I begin to pray, and I just like, okay, God, I'm going to just trust and believe. Everybody say trust. Everybody say believe. You know, it's an easy thing to say, but we don't always do it. So I had my head down. I looked up. And as soon as I looked up, I saw one of my leaders that I love and adore. He's got a smile on his face, and he's walking toward me. He comes in and gives me a hug. He pulls out of his pocket his ticket, and he says, "This is for you." He says, "I'm willing to take your place so you can take my place so you can get where you need to go to." I broke down, church. Not because I was scared or afraid, but because I was in a situation of being feeling hopeless and just thinking, man, I got to just believe and hear God provided like that. And as I'm walking onto the plane, they're already all seated. They're waiting for me, right? And I'm walking to my seat, and my whole team is cheering, "Hey, you got on the plane, oh, that's all." They don't realize what just took place. And as I'm walking on the plane, and I'm bawling. I got the ugly cry going on. Are you with me? All right? And I don't care, right? But what's going on in my life is this. As I sit down in that seat, I realize this is exactly what Jesus did for me. 2,000 years ago, he gave his life so that I could have life. So that I can spend eternity with him in heaven. I was totally hopeless in my sin, and because of my sin, I needed a Savior. And I'm telling you, church, at the age of 13, I gave my life to Christ, and now I am his, and I am a child of God, and I've got a calling on my life. And my prayer is that if you've never said yes to Jesus, I want you to know and understand something. You don't got to change to come to him. You got to come to him to be changed. You're desperate about that sin, run to the Savior. And so I'm sitting in that plane, sitting at that seat, recognizing the fact that here is a man who gave up his seat. He's not going to see his family now. Now he's got to deal with all that stuff that I was going to have to deal with. And he did it because he loved me. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He's got a perfect and pleasing will for your life. And you might be sitting here right now looking at me saying, "Corey, I'm desperate, I'm hurting, I am desperate, I'm struggling in sin, I am desperate, I'm struggling with this, that, and the other." And I'm telling you, church, very simply, you need to run with a sense of urgency at the feet of Jesus. You need to be willing to reach out and fight through the crowd to see Jesus. You need to be willing to not be discouraged or distracted and be at his feet. And you need to be willing to just believe. It's not by chance that it happens. It's by choice. Whose choice is it? It's yours. I know I'm not Billy Graham. I know I'm not Bob Ross. I wish I had his hair. But my prayer is that you can see my heart and you can see God's word in his heart. And the fact is, he wants to do a work in your life. What I love about the girl, check this out, that she came to Jesus desperate. She left delivered, but I love the fact he changed her life, changed her situation. And we see that even in the story of Jairus, he does the exact same thing. We serve a mighty, powerful God that's bigger than anything you're ever going to face. Just believe. Everybody say, "I can." Everybody say, "I will." Can I draw a picture for you guys? You don't got to agree so fast. He's like, "Finally, he's done." Right? I get it. No, it's cool. All right? I want to draw this picture. It's going to take me about 7 minutes or so to draw this picture. And I pray as I draw this picture, you just think about the very message we broke down, the very story we broke down. And where are you at? Are you like that little girl who's been struggling with something for 12 years in desperate need of just touching his clothes? Are you the crowd that's kind of sitting back and just watching what's taking place? Are you like Jairus that has a situation going on in his life and he's just desperate to just go get in the presence of Jesus and cry out to him? I don't know where you're at, but my prayer is, however you came in, it doesn't matter. It's how you come out. We got to be willing to change. Let's pray real quick. Father God, I come before you right now, and I want to thank you for this church body. They're so special to me, and they're special to this community. And Lord, I pray you continue to use this church body to make a difference for your kingdom. Lord, right now, I just pray that you'll guide my right hand as I draw this picture. It's all about you. It's all because of you. Lord, we just love you so much. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. that. I don't know if you're hurting. I don't know if you're struggling in sin. I don't know if you are struggling because you're desperate because of this, that, and the other. But here's the thing, church. I know where you need to be. And that's at the feet of Jesus. With no excuse, no hesitation. Come in just as you are. Reaching out to him. Being in his presence. Not getting discouraged or distracted, and believing and trusting that whatever situation you got going on, he can change. So my prayer is that if you've never said yes to Jesus, no, once again, you don't got to change to come to him, you got to come to him to be changed. My prayer is if you already know him as your personal Lord and Savior, praise God. But yet there's a situation in your life that you're struggling with and you're desperate about, my prayer is this morning you'll run to him with a sense of urgency. No matter what. I'm going to pray and turn it over to Pastor Cody and allow him to do the invitation the way you guys normally do, but my prayer is you and I will do business with him. Lord, I come before you right now. I thank you for this church body. I thank you for your word and your truth. I thank you for this opportunity that we had to worship you through song, the opportunity that we had to worship you through your word and through a drawing. We give you all the glory and praise. And I know at the sound of my voice right now in this very room, people are desperate about something. And Lord, I pray right now you just uncallus the hearts. I pray right now that you take away all confusion. I pray right now that you will prepare them to be able to just come and get right with you, get real with you, so a revival can take place in their life. Lord, we love you so much. Do a work in our life right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to close with some worship. We're going to close today and give you an opportunity, if you're here, give you an opportunity to come to the feet of Jesus for the first time. Because Jesus is our only hope. We heard it today. We read it in Scripture. You can have money, you can have status, you can have title, you can have swag, but the only way is through the door of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on that cross. So I want to give you, each one of you, the opportunity here today. If you're here and you've never invited Christ into your heart, today you find yourself here and you find yourself desperate. No joy, no fulfillment, full of shame and condemnation because of the sins that you've committed. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to give you his ticket and give you his seat into heaven. So if you're here today, you've never invited Christ into your heart, but you say, today I'm fighting through the crowds and I want to accept him as my Lord and Savior. I want to invite him into my heart. I want to be forgiven. I want to be a new creation and I want to be assured of heaven. If you're here and you've never invited Christ into your heart, but you say, today is the day I want to make that decision, would you just raise your hand right where you are? Cole's coming around. To those of you that have your hand raised, just if you'll just look up and look out to the edge of the aisle, Cole or somebody, some leader from church will grab you and pray with you and talk to you for just a moment. Anybody else? We want to give you ample time. Okay, God bless you. Hey, Billy, would you come? Anybody else? The cross, here comes Billy right here. The cross that Corey drew the picture of. Thank God that Jesus carried that cross. And thank God that that old cross represents so much, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By the blood that he shed, nothing that we did, but everything that he did. one more opportunity. Anybody else? No pressure, no pushing. Just want to make sure you have an opportunity to raise your hand. Okay, God bless you. Why don't you stand on your feet? We're going to sing a little bit of this song, and then I'm going to come back with in just a moment with one more thing to say to you. So let's stand and let's